Wrong lessons. That's the focus of tonight's angle. Now, it was predictable. The GOP establishment, which has been losing elections since about 2006, would declare the Republicans' disappointing midterm showing the death knell for populism. Now, the rationale being that because certain Trump-backed candidates lost in key races, the entire populist movement lost, too. Well, David Brooks, the liberals' favorite liberal, masquerading as something more sophisticated, likened it all to a fever finally breaking. Performative populism has begun to ebb, he wrote, and Trump's nihilistic violence that lay at the heart of it all. Writing in the New York Times, Matthew Continetti struck a similar note, arguing that Tuesday's results bear a striking resemblance to the midterm elections of 1998, when setback then led to renewal, when the party then went on to embrace Texas Governor George W. Bush, who had won re-election, of course, in 1998, in Texas. Now, word to the wise, if you're actually trying to help Ron DeSantis in 2024, best not to make a comparison to the president who hasn't been invited to speak at any RNC convention since he left office. But the pro-war coalition is, they're emboldened. You have to face facts. And they're marching together, led by their fallen star general, Liz Cheney, who's enjoying the moment herself, falsely believing that Tuesday's results mean America is hankering for the good old days of Fallujah and Kandahar. Now, is Cheney actually saying that she, a Republican rejected by her own voters in her own state, who lives an existence wholly derivative of Donald Trump, that she's on Team Normal? Now, she's vowed to fight Ron DeSantis, too, as I recall, and endorsed Democrat Tim Ryan over J.D. Vance in Ohio. So for all intents and purposes, she's a pro-war Democrat, at war with the 74 million who voted for Trump in 2020 because they were done with the Bush-Cheney alternatives. Now, David Brooks himself admitted that Trump deserves credit for reinventing the GOP and then setting the party on a path to being a multiracial working-class party. Well, you bet he deserves credit for that and for a whole lot more. Now, think about the shape the GOP was in back in 2015. People have very short memories. Well, first of all, it was a boring party. It was stuck in a 2004 time warp with out-of-touch approaches and totally not in sync with the concerns of average Americans. Yeah, that bell couldn't have come soon enough. Okay, other than the Tea Party victories of 2010, where was the excitement and growth in the Republican Party? Well, and hadn't had much, really, energy since about 1996, when Pitchfork Pat Buchanan, the intellectual populist ahead of his time, when he won the New Hampshire primary. Before 2016, Republicans were losing the working-class voters, those Reagan Democrats. They were falling away. And they were also failing to connect with Hispanics back then. And let's not forget, Republicans, they were helping China get richer and more powerful, as more Americans, of course, had their jobs shipped overseas. Obama beat both of their establishment candidates in 2008 and then 2012. McCain and Romney were annihilated. Florida went Democrat in both cycles. And in the process, Obama chalked up two Supreme Court justices, would have had three if it weren't for McConnell. The establishment GOP had embraced globalism and endless war. They'd overseen the flattening of America's wealth and presided over the 2008 economic meltdown, all the while paying lip service to social conservatives. Well, Trump came in and he turned that all around. Fast forward to today. Now, I'm not going to dwell on Trump's dust up with other potential 2024 nominees, but as far as DeSantis is concerned, keep your eye on the establishment types who start throwing money at him. The big government coalition representing Wall Street, big defense contractors, big tech. Oh, yeah, they're already circling. And they're going to try to co-opt DeSantis and change him. And eventually, they'll try to swallow him whole. Picking a fight with Disney? Disney was picking a fight with parents, Andrew. Now, populism isn't extreme. It's pragmatic. There was plenty of good news for Republicans that the media seek to ignore, of course, on Tuesday. The inroads made in New York, flipping four seats there. The closer-than-expected races in the Pacific Northwest. The continued shift rightward of Hispanic voters. And, of course, the huge populist expansion in Texas and, of course, in Florida. Pretty boy Beto lost by almost 11 points to incumbent Greg Abbott. And strong populist social conservative Dan Patrick was reelected as lieutenant governor by double digits as well. So if the establishment really has all the answers, how is it that Lisa Murkowski didn't sail to victory in Alaska? And how did Romney get embarrassed in Utah when he refused to endorse Mike Lee, who ended up winning handily? Now, if not Trump, whoever rises to the top of the pack in 2024, he or she is going to be bombarded by the Romney-Cheney crowd. They're going to pull out every possible stop to push him or her toward the old Bush policies of endless war, partnering with the CCP, and open borders. And here's the thing. It's really tough, if you're a Republican, to avoid getting pushed in that direction. Most GOP foreign policy types support the Bush foreign policy. Most GOP trade policy experts are pro-CCP and pro-World Trade Organization. And most GOP policy types have sympathy for generous immigration amnesty. DeSantis and his team, they will be flooded with memoranda supporting all of these bad ideas. But my guess, and it's just a guess right now, is that DeSantis and any smart, serious candidate will consult with everyone in the GOP, but avoid the establishment trap. I'm thinking a campaign with a positive, fresh populist message that affirmatively embraces America First policies, that has the best chance of winning. And that's the angle.